It's good to see you all. Adam, come up here real quick. We're going to get started. There is a lot going on today. I'm excited about it all. But this is Adam Stewart. Adam has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. And he's going to be baptized at the end of the service. So if we have a motion for his baptism, we have a motion, we have a second. Everyone in favor, raise your right hand. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. All right, you sit with your mom now. Wherever you want to sit. Let me see here. Got a lot of announcements to do. Let me go through just a few announcements. And Isaiah's here now. All right, good deal, good deal. Let me go just over a few announcements. There will be a special call business meeting on Wednesday, July the 17th at 6:30 p.m. The purpose of the meeting is to consider the sale of the church bus and to approve a salary for the prospective pastor that's going to be coming. So that will be a special call business meeting this coming Wednesday, okay? VBS kicks off next Sunday with a family fun picnic. Everyone is invited. The fun begins at 6 p.m. Just a few announcements on that. Desserts needed for picnic next week, okay? Starting to decorate this week, we'll be here at 4:30 tonight. If anyone would like to help, you are welcome to come and help at 4:30 tonight. Register your kids and invite friends. Register them and invite friends. It just kind of gives us an idea how many's coming, and invite more friends. Also, registration for CrossCon 2025 is open. This is a conference for college-age young adults. Details are available in today's bulletin or by contacting Brother David Atwell. Remember to pray this week for the group going to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to work with the Voices of the Martyr organization. David and a group is leaving out in the morning, and so remember them as they go. It's going to be very hot out there. How hot?
Hot enough.
Hot enough, okay. So pray for them. I was telling Debbie Lovin earlier that in that warehouse, no air condition, probably about 150 degrees. And she just looked at me and I said, I'm kidding. And David said, I'm not for sure. So, but anyway,
hey, how are you doing? Yeah, I see you.
But anyway, they leave in the morning, so remember them in your prayers. At this time, I'm going to ask Isaiah and Taylor to come up. They're going to dedicate Flora to the Lord. And Brother Jack, Hazy.
I love
the dedication services. And I'm going to let y'all stand right here where everybody can see you all. How you doing? And so a dedication service to the Lord. They want to dedicate Flora to the Lord. And what this literally means is that they're going to commit their lives to raising Flora in the admonition of the Lord, and they want to raise her in church and set a foundation for her as they grow as a family. And so a dedication service is for the parents and also for the church, is that we're going to be dedicated to helping this young family in raising their family. And so we're in this together to be able to do this. And so I'm going to ask Brother Jack now, and he's going to share some scripture passages with you all.
In these scripture passages, I have put Flora Bell's name in the place where it says child or he or she. The first one is out of Proverbs 22:6. Train Flora in the way she should go, and when she is old, she will not turn or depart from it. The next one is in Psalms 127, verse 3. Flora is a heritage from the Lord, children a reward for them. The last one is in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Amen. Tuesday, you stay up here with us, brother. Tuesday, we were talking and this came up, you know, and I said, Brother Jack, you have to be a part of this. And so we talked about it, and I wanted him to be a part of this. Brother Jack and Kay, they love their family, I mean, so much. And so it is an exciting time. And so I'm going to ask the parents now, and you just kind of respond just with the questions that is asked to you, okay? Do you both present Flora Bell to the Lord and to pledge yourselves to bring Flora up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Do you this day recognize that Flora is a gift from God and give heartfelt thanks to God's blessings for Flora in your lives? What a wonderful gift. Do you this day dedicate and commit Flora to the Lord, of whom God gave her to you both, to care for and to take care of? Do you this day pledge as parents that you will bring up Flora in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Will you read and teach her the Word of God? Will you take time to show her the glories of God and all that He has created? Do you this day ask God's favor and will upon Flora's life to guide, guard, and direct Flora's heart through all of her years? Yes. Look at that smile. And church, let me get to the side. If you would stand with me, church. Church, will you, members of Waldo Baptist Church, be faithful to your calling, to the body of Christ, to pray for this family as they begin their journey of raising Flora under the instruction and admonition of the Lord?
We will.
I want to hear it really good. Amen. All right. Will you live your lives in such a way that you will be best example to this family in holiness and in all purity?
We will.
Will you look to be intentional, to edify, to pray and instruct and help this family through all the seasons of their life?
We will.
Amen. So if you would, in front of you, you have a hymnal. And if you would turn in that hymnal to the back. And we're going to do a responsive reading now with Isaiah Taylor, Flora, and Hazel. Hazel's going to be, it'll be 692 in the very back, 692. And I will read the light print, and you will read the bold print. I'll make sure everyone's there. I'll read the light print and you read the bold print. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. I'm going to ask Brother Jack to close us in prayer.
Father, we thank you this morning for this family that you have blessed with this young child, Flora Bell. Lord, we pray all these things that she be saved at a young age.
Amen.
But Lord, we know you have plans for her life that we cannot even imagine. And we pray that you'll bless and watch over this family as they lead and guide her, that she can see Christ in them and they can see Christ in her. And Father, you use them, not only her, but all of them as a family, Lord, that will bring glory to your name. Bless this young girl. And Lord, we thank you so much for her gift to us and for the reality that she has a future because Christ has risen
Amen.
From the grave
Amen.
And lives forevermore.
Amen.
And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen.
Amen. Also, I have here a gift for Flora. and Isaiah and Taylor. There you go. It's a letter, and it's a lammy that reminds Flora that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and in here is a little Bible, because we believe here at Waldo Baptist Church that the Bible is the most important thing. And it's also a letter to Flora that from the day that she gives her life to Jesus Christ, in that will be a letter showing that her parents this day made a commitment to raise her in the admonition of the Lord that she will be able to read. So here you go. Thank you all. God bless you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Before we pray to open up in our worship service, let's take a moment and pause and pray also for our country. And of all the things that are going on, I just want to say this. You never hear me hardly ever speak any political, and I don't. But it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It's never right to hurt someone else or to harm someone else or take someone else's life in no way. And so let's pause for a moment and let's pray for our country. Every head bowed. Father, as we bow in your presence today, we pause as a church to remember the country that you've allowed us to be born in, to be raised in, to grow up in. Always remind us, Lord, that more than anything else, Father, you created us and you made us with a plan and a purpose, Lord. And Father, we know and understand that we live in a sinful world, sinful society, where we see depravity running rampant everywhere we go. Father, it's never okay to bring harm to someone else or to try to take someone else's life. It doesn't matter what party. But Father, as a church, we're called to be light in a dark world. So help us to raise up and show the love of Christ everywhere we go. And Father, we just pray for your protection upon our leaders locally, upon our leaders in the state, upon the leaders in this world, and that God, you would watch over them and protect them. The Bible says that we are to pray for our leaders. Whether we agree wholeheartedly or not, we are to pray for them. And so we lift up all of our leaders, that God, you would watch over them and give them wisdom and protect them, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all worship together.
Good morning, church. Ain't God good? All right, before we worship through song, I want to read this from Isaiah chapter 1. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. It is awesome to see babies being dedicated. It's awesome to see baptism. What we've got to keep in mind is that none of that stuff is of our own doing. It's all by the grace of God. He is holy and he is worthy of our worship. So let's do that this morning. Our God is holy, holy, holy. Let's sing out together, church.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Trinity, from the cradle. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him. And sang, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save.
Age to age, he stands.
with me. How great is our God, and all will see. The name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Word of hand, amen. You may be seated. If we can have our ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless this. Tony, would you bless it? Swinford. Yes.
With all of our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We pray that
what gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to Him. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, for He has said that He will bring me home. the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You ever have those days? I mean, you wake up and things just don't go right. I mean, it just seems like everything you do is just going wrong, and you just feel like, I just need to go back to bed and start all over again. And because the more you keep pressing on, the more things just kind of seem to go wrong. And then, you know, that day may go into 2 days, or it may go into a week, and your whole week you just hadn't gone well. I mean, sometimes we have a whole week that just don't go well, and things seem to go wrong and not working the way you planned it to do. And I mean, you're just kind of frustrated. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've ever gotten frustrated, or if you had a day or a week that things just didn't go well. But I had one of them weeks this week. It's one of them weeks, and isn't it amazing that in that day or week that you have, God is teaching you something. And it always goes back a lot of times to what I may be getting ready to preach. And I don't realize it at the time until you get to the end of the week, and then you're studying the scriptures and you're letting it sit and process, and you're thinking, the Lord has been teaching me all week and I hadn't really seen what it was He was wanting me to see, and then you began to see it. You see, this week started out rough. Well, it started out the week before, and I had one of them weeks, and yes, I have those weeks too. And Connor had, it's when Connor had gotten hit with a ball bat, and we were at the hospital, and Cammie was leaving, and I was riding home with Shelby and the kids, and she called me and said, come back, my door won't shut. Well, I went back, and she had thought somebody had broke into her car, and no one had broke into her car, but her door wouldn't shut. And I thought, I can't let her drive that way, so I let her jump in the car with Shelby, and I'll drive, and I take off to Calvert City, and I'm holding the door with one hand, and I'm driving another. If you would, don't tell my police officer friends. And I'm driving, and if you don't hold it tight enough, it'll go ding, 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 ding. Well, I don't guess I'm strong anymore, so we dinged all the way home. And we get there, and my door wouldn't shut, and I'm frustrated, and I'm sitting there trying to mess with the latch, and you know I'm not a mechanic, and so it just wouldn't shut. And to top that off, my truck is leaking a quart of oil a day. And so everything is going wrong. We take my car to the shop, and we get it in, and well, to make a long story short, I try to get it into one of the places, and they just wasn't real friendly to me. And then I said, well, I'm not going there. And so I take it to shop, and they get it in and said, it'd be ready that afternoon, hopefully, or the next morning. And well, they called and said that we got it, and it's going to take a day for the part to come in. And then it comes in, and the guy who's working on the car called in sick. And no one else could work on it because this is the one who's taking it apart, and no one else wants to touch it. They're afraid they'll mess it up. And so it'll be ready the next day. I called the next day. It wasn't ready. It said that the part came in, but it was wrong. And so this time, I'm feeling it. You know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if you ever have those days where you're starting to feel it. And I'm saying in my mind, I got to be Christ-like. I can't. I've got to. And it don't always work that way. But anyway, I've got to be Christ-like. I said, is there a place anywhere that might have them? I'll go get it. I'll bring it. Whatever I need to do. Well, I'll check around. Well, a few hours later, I got a call. Said I got some good and bad news. And that normally isn't always good. But let me just say, it wasn't bad. And so when he says, listen, I called one of the dealers, and the dealer was looking at the part and the VIN number and all that, and said, just want you to know this car has a recall on that. Wow. And so where it was going to cost you this, it's not going to, as a matter of fact, they're going to replace all the doors because there's a recall on them, and you're going to get it done for free. And so, yeah, praise the Lord. And so that was working out great. And all of a sudden, you know, my truck, I take my grandkids to get some sawdust. And we go and get, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm knowing my son's busy, my daughter-in-law's busy. I'm going to help them out. And my grandkids go with me. Man, I was sweating. It was 100 degrees. And my youngest grandson's in the car, and I wouldn't let him get out because of the heavy equipment, and the other one's helping me there. And we go to leave, and my car wouldn't go. My truck wouldn't go. And I'm ramming it, and it wouldn't go, and I'm sweating, and there's not an inch on me that's dry. And I'm thinking, my transmission has gone out. It won't go. Well, I look down, and it says emergency brake is on. And he had pressed it in, and it wouldn't go. And then I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm sweating. We go down the road, and they get in a fight over some keys, and they're in the back seat going at it. And then I hear a pshhh, and I thought, I got a flat tire. And then I start smelling something. And my youngest grandson had the sunscreen, and he's spraying it, and it's going all over the other grandson. And it's stinking up the whole thing, and we're sweating, and we're going down through here, sawdust. It was just one of those days and one of those weeks where all that's going on. And then we get to Friday night, and we're having a 75th birthday party for my father-in-law. And we get ready to get a picture, and they asked me to pray for the food, and I got so overwhelmed with blessings that I looked at all the grandkids. And I looked at all the family, and sometimes we think that things that are going out of control, God has blessed us beyond measure. Amen. And why do I say all that? Well, the passage of Scripture that I want to look at today comes from chapter 1, verse 15. It says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy in all you do. I don't think God will ask you to do something that you can't be. He's called us here to be holy. So what does it mean to be holy? Well, the word to be holy means to be separate. It means to be set apart. That as a believer and as a Christian, you are to be set apart from this world. Your life isn't to look like the world. It isn't to act like the world. It is to be set apart. Why? Unto Christ, not unto the world. And I'm telling you, there are times in our life, if you're like me, there's times that you began to want to get in the flesh. And that's that old way of living, the way you used to live. And you even hear people say, I'm fixing to get in the flesh. And make an excuse for it and to give a righteous answer as to why I can get in the flesh because of the way they have done me or the way they're treating me. It's right for me to get in the flesh. And then I go back to Jesus. And I think about him and his life and how he lived a perfect life. And he had done nothing wrong, but yet they arrested him. And yet they beat him within an inch of his life. The Bible says in Isaiah that his visions were so marred you couldn't even recognize him as a man, and that he went to the cross as a lamb led to the slaughter, and he had done nothing wrong. And the Bible says that he uttered not a word. If there's anyone who had the right to share what he was thinking at that moment, it would be him. Why? Because he had done nothing wrong. He was righteous in every way. And so therefore, in this scripture, Peter is reminding them of who they are. You see, what happens, we get in the flesh when we forget who we are. We begin to do things we shouldn't do when we forget who we are. We are to remind ourselves every day and preach the gospel to ourselves every day that I am a child of God and this isn't my home. I am just passing through and I am to live my life separate from everyone else of the world. It doesn't mean that you're to take yourself out of the world. It doesn't mean that you're going to live in a place that no one can get around you. No, you and I are called to be in the world, but not of the world. You and I are to be the examples for others to see. It's not rocket science to know that we live in a world that's lost, of whom I was a part of at one point in my life. I lived according to my own way, my own flesh, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And then God broke into my life and changed everything about me. Changed my direction, changed my thoughts, changed my attitude. It doesn't mean that I still don't struggle. How many of you here doesn't struggle with sin? If you don't, I want to talk to you. Because there is every single one of us here. Because we're not yet glorified, we still struggle in the flesh, in our hearts, and in our minds. But it doesn't give us a right to say, I have the right to do it. Because that's pride. And pride, too, is sin. And he says here, and I believe it with all my heart, that he won't ask you to do something or be something that you can't be. He says, be holy, for I am holy. And let's go back up just a little bit. In verse 13, it says, therefore. When you see a therefore, you see what it's there for. Therefore, of what he just said, that we see that the Christians were scattered throughout. They were facing trials. They were facing persecution. They wasn't living an easy life. They were going through a lot in their life. And he says, therefore, with your minds, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the glory of God. It is so important that we set our minds on the hope of Christ. Because the very first place that Satan wants to attack you is your mind. First of all, he wants you to forget who you are. He wants you to forget who you belong to. He did the very same thing with Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are... Jesus didn't buy it because Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. And the same thing will happen in your life and in my life if Satan wants you to doubt the goodness of God. If God is so good, then why are you going through this? If God is so good, then why did he allow this to go on in your life? And then that inkling of doubt comes in. And then you think, yeah, why am I going through this? The Bible never said that you will have an easy life. The Bible never says that you'll go through life with ease. As a matter of fact, it says that in this life there will be trials and tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You're not in this alone. You're not alone. The greatest companion that can be with you in the things that you're going through is Jesus Christ. He didn't take Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. They still went through the fiery furnace, but Jesus was with them. And so in this life, you're going to go through trials. And he's saying to be alert. Set your minds. Don't let your mind idle for 1 minute, because as soon as you let your mind idle, Satan is going to come and he's going to attack you. And the next thing you know, you're going to get in the flesh, and then you're going to start living in the flesh. And one thing leads to another. And so you're to set your mind. When you drive through Nashville or Paducah by the Mall, you don't set it on cruise control, do you? And you just cruise through there. Absolutely not. If you're like me, you're white-knuckled. And you're alert. Not that you're worried about you hitting somebody. You're worried about someone hitting you. That's called being alert. You don't go through life on cruise control. Well, I didn't see that one. The Bible says, and Peter is saying, set your mind. Prepare your mind for action. You see, in Romans 8, it says that the mind controls the sinful flesh. the mind that controls the sinful flesh is what? Death. It's death. But you are to set your mind on the things above, and that is controlled by the Spirit of God. When you set your mind on the things of God and set your mind on the things that God desires for your life, that is life. But when you set your mind on the things of this world, the Bible says that that brings death. And he says that we are to set our minds and be alert and fully sober. He says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, look what it says, and I have this in brackets. Do not conform. Do not conform. We see that in Romans 12:1 as well. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. I can't tell us how important the mind is in all of this. Because if you aren't putting your mind on the things of God and you're not being transformed by the Word of God, you know what's happening? You're being conformed to the pattern of this world. And there will be some, and I was one of them at one time. Is that bad? Absolutely. Because this world wants to conform you. It wants to shape you. If you're not going to shape your kids, the world will. If you're not going to shape your kids, the world will. If you're just going to let them go and put them in front of something just to entertain them, and you're not going to be a part of their life and teach them, the world will conform them. And the world will teach them. That's why it's so important, parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, to be a part of your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids' life. Why? So that you can help them, because the world is wanting to conform them. And your life should be more and more being transformed into the image of God's Son. How does it start? It starts through the mind. It starts through reading the Scriptures, because the things that go in are the things that's going to come out. I remember songs from the 80s. I thought I'd forgot. And then one will pop up, and I'll know pretty much every word. And didn't even realize it. You know what I'm talking about. And then you start singing all those words, or movies. Cammie and I sit down to watch a movie one day, and we thought it was okay, and we began to watch it and thought, ooh, that's not good. Didn't even realize it. You see, when you begin to put the things of God in your mind, it begins to show you the things around you that are not good, or not good for your kids, not good for you. You don't say, well, you do as I say, not as I do. You and I should live our lives so much in tune with God that we're not concerned with that, because we want them to follow us because we're following God. You shouldn't say that. But you do. How dare us use the excuse, I'm an adult. You're not. We should be so in tune and be alert, because kids are sponges. They will pick up and say, believe me, everything you say and everything you do, they are watching you. And so if we're alert and we're prepared in our mind, your Bible may say, be prepared, prepare your mind for action. It says, obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy. Why? Because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's works and partiality, live out your time as what? As foreigners. Do you find that interesting? What is Peter saying? Live out your time as foreigners. What means that we're not from here. This is not our home. Our home and address is now in heaven. Miss Helen is passing through. And as she's passing through, she is a foreigner. Why? Because she's not from here. She's from heaven. You and I are to live our lives so much in tune with the Lord that people see that our heavenly home is in heaven with Christ. If your life continues to look like the world, and there's never been a change in your life, and you continue doing the old things that you once did and always do, then there's a good chance that you went at a time in your life upon a feeling and not the truth of His Word. Because the truth of His Word will come, the Holy Spirit of God will come into your life and will take residence in your life and will begin to change everything and everything about who you are. How do you know that, Trad? Well, I lived that way for a long time. I thought I was saved because I said a prayer. I got baptized. But I was lost. I was lost. And it wasn't until Christ came into my life and broke my heart for the things that breaks His heart. And I began to follow Him and began to trust Him. Did I do it perfectly? No. Is there anyone here who does it perfectly? No. But as a believer, you should desire to walk a life that is holy and pleasing to God. Doesn't mean that you walk around and you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You've heard that said before. But that you're transparent in your walk with the Lord and you admit, I'm not perfect, I make mistakes. But it doesn't give you immunity to continue doing those things. It should bother you and it should bother your life and your heart and your mind that you do those things. And then He says, hear in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, with silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. The empty way of life. Do you know why? There is an empty way of life because there's the absence of God in their life. And I'm going to tell you something, the world would disagree with that, and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. I understand that and I understand now. I understand there was a time in my life that I was living an empty way of life. Why? Because I was following after my own heart and my own desires. I followed after my way of living. I didn't care about anyone else. I only cared about myself. And I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And you know what? It was empty and it was vain. It wasn't until I had a relationship with Christ that He came into my life and He filled me. And what I've learned over the years of this filling is that whenever you walk with the Lord, God fills you. Whenever you stay in His Word, God fills you. But whenever you begin to walk away, or you begin to stray away, or this goes, or a day goes to a week goes to a month, you know what? You began to get empty and you began to get drained. I don't know if I'm speaking to you or not, but maybe you've come into here today and you know what? You're empty. And you're drained. And you're tired. And you're exhausted. I know the feeling. And what I've found to be true, that when I am not where I need to be with the Lord, I am drained. And I'm tired and I'm exhausted. But every time I go to the Word of God, and I spend time on my knees, and I worship the Lord, He fills my cup. And I'm not just satisfied with my cup being filled. And I hope that none of us are satisfied with our cup being filled. I hope that we want our cup to overflow. Because that's what we should want in our life. Because Jesus is the one who can not only fill your cup, but He can overflow your cup. And I want to challenge you to something. If you admit to me, and you don't have to me personally, but you're admitting right now that, man, I'm just tired, I'm drained, I'm exhausted. Let me ask you something. How's your time with the Lord been? How's your study time? How's your time in the Word? How's your time in prayer? How's your church time? How's your worship time? I want you to be honest. How is it? Well, it hadn't been the greatest. It's a possibility why you're tired. As a matter of fact, I would say that is a huge possibility. Because whenever you get to where God, whenever you get to a place where God desires for you to be in your life, He is overflowing your cup. The world will not agree to that. It won't. And then he says, the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. For your sake. Do we get it, and do we realize that it was for our sake that Jesus Christ died? He didn't have to come. But He came for the Father, and He came for us. Why? Because there was a huge issue, and there was a huge problem, and that problem is sin, and that sin is what separates us from God. But in His love, He bankrupted heaven and He stepped out from heaven and He came here to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And He died a death that we could not die to ourselves. And I have found that when I begin to live my life for me, I find myself empty. You see, you don't live your life for you. You live your life for the one who died for you. And that goes against the grain of everything that the world says. But I'm telling you from experience, when I live my life for me, it's draining. When I live my life for Christ, He fills my cup. It has been proven that the happiest people on the face of the earth are people who serve, not people who want to be served. People who want to be served are unhappy, can never be filled because they're never satisfied. But when you live for Christ, He fills you. Let me go on. And we're running out. We're out of time. Y'all buckle up. I'm going to read here, okay? It says, through Him you believe in God and have raised Him from dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by what? By obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love for one another, deeply from the heart. There is a love that is sacrificial. And then there is a love that's kind of fake. You know, a sacrificial love goes out of the way. That's for another message. A sincere love for each other, love for one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. How? Through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You and I are going to fade away quick. Seems like yesterday we were graduating from high school. I remember looking in the newspaper at who was getting married. There is a section in the paper, if you don't know that. I don't even know if they have papers anymore. There was a section in the paper that people were getting married. I used to look, see who I knew getting married. Now I look in the obituaries. I mean, time flies just like that. We're just passing through. The Bible says we are but a vapor. A vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. What if today was your day? Are you okay with God? What I mean by that, if you come to a place in your life that you've recognized and realized that you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ, and that you repented of that sin and you turned your life to Jesus Christ and you took away your hope of yourself because you know that you can't save yourself and you put your hope in the only one who can, and His name is Christ. He did that for you. If there's anyone that can love you the way you need to be loved, it's Christ. And He loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, You and You alone know how excited I was to preach this morning. All the way here, just thinking about the message. There's so many times, Lord, I fail and get into flesh. There is no excuse for it. Father, help me to remember always who I am and who I belong to. There is no one on the face of the earth, no one, who can convince me that You're not real. The reason being is because I know You and I've experienced You. And I love to proclaim You because You're my dad. And Father, I pray for that one here today that may be lost. They need to come to the end of themselves and see their need for You. I can't do that for them. I can't save them. You have to do that as You did for me. And I know that it is all in Your timing, just as it was for me. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for a praying grandmother who prayed fervently for the salvation of all of her grandkids. I just believe You heard her prayer, but I also believe that You had a plan from eternity to bring me to that point in my life. So Lord, as we close, I thank You, I praise You, I love You. Be with those here this morning that are struggling. Remind them of who they are, that You're caring for them even when we don't even realize it. I love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Let's all stand together. Hey, it's okay to clap. Yeah, if you're going to get baptized, you can go ahead and get ready. It's okay to clap. I want you to clap. I want you to sing loud. I want you to listen to the words of this song. Jesus has done a miraculous work in our life.
I was till I met You. I was breathing the night alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn
sin was heavy, the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my
morning. It's such an honor and blessing to be here this morning with Adam. It was funny, I actually got to see him at camp this past week, and that's one of the first things he said to me. He said, "I can't wait for Sunday," because he knew the baptism was coming, and so excited for what the Lord is doing here at Waldo Baptist Church, and specifically at Adam's life. So Adam, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, and raised to walk in the newness of life. There we go.
All right. Can you hear me okay? I've got this mic okay.